Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord once again, dear beloved. We're on the air tonight, and we thank God for this opportunity once again that we can come live on the radio because we have much to say. And tonight's a night that I just say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the living God. But before we get any further, let us all come together out there that are listening. Some of you I may not ever see until we reach the kingdom. Some of you I might face and right now in a different surrounding. But I will say this, because the love of God abounds in every believer's heart. We are the ones who are going to keep things moving forward. So let's go to the Father through Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and talk with him. Father, tonight's the night that we said thank you for everything you have done for us. We come before you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you for everything. We ask you this night that you will keep us, you will show us what you have to do. I ask you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach that you would, we can come before you. If he finds anything that's not right in us, if he finds anything that's not settling us, may the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach will wash us clean. May forgiveness be before us. We call upon you. Because it's your word. It's your word. And we give you the praise and the glory for everything. Amen. Amen. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Hey, good evening, Dr. Hunter. How are you doing this evening?
I'm blessed. And you?
I'm doing good. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice, too. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Move us. Amen, amen, and amen, and hallelujah, and hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. What has God laid on your heart to give us, to feed us tonight? What has he said, feed us tonight?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, first I want to say, as always, grace and peace to you, God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And everyone that has we all blessed to come together and fellowship in God's word.
Amen.
And what God has laid on my heart is going to keep us in Hebrews this evening. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, as we continue in our Hebrews series this fall. Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Verse 1 says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bare witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, as we read verse 1, you know, we can all kind of identify with what verse 1, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 is saying. You know, as believers, we face dangers of drifting away from the faith. We all face those dangers on a daily basis. You know, there's storms and different things that can happen in our life that can cause us to drift away. But when we neglect our relationship with Christ, it can cause spiritual starvation. Spiritual starvation. And then there are situations that can potentially cause us to drift when it comes to obeying Christ and holding to the gospel of truth, holding to its truth. Some of the easiest ways is when we begin to neglect our relationship with God. When we don't have an active prayer life, we don't regularly read our word, we don't have any service that we do in the kingdom, to put our hands to the plow. There's so many different things to do, but in other words, when we're not in an active relationship with God, when we're not sold into our relationship and to our spiritual present and future, it can lead to a drifting away from the faith. Some of the things that can cause us to drift away is also personal loss. A lot of us that experience personal loss in forms of fashion, maybe loved ones in the family, sometimes that can cause us to question whether God's in control. And some people, it questions whether God, actually exists. So there's so many different reactions to personal loss, but sometimes that can be a cause of us leaning in our faith or drifting away from our faith. Another thing that we see very common, because a lot of people in today's society really struggle in spending time with God. I can't tell how many times I've talked to born-again believers. And when we sit and we have that moment, we talk about God's word, and they are the first to acknowledge how powerful it is to actually spend that time in the word. But they also lament and talk about the struggle they have in their daily schedule, just getting time to sit down and have time for God, because we have so many different things that we're trying to do in our daily life. But while we are not, what we put ourselves at risk and danger of is that we don't make our relationship with God a priority, then we're not empty vessels. We're filled with something. Okay, we're not empty spiritually. We're filled with something. And so if we're not filling ourselves with a relationship with God and filling ourselves with the Spirit of God, then we're all filling ourselves with something. And so sometimes, since we don't have that relationship with God, then it's the things that we are exposing ourselves to regularly through the course of the day that tend to be anti-Christ material or anti-Christ climate that we put ourselves in. And what I'm talking about is, like, the music we listen to sometimes, the TV that we expose ourselves to, spending time in nightclubs and, you know, certain books. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we can expose ourselves to that will create a climate not only in our spirit but in our thoughts and our minds that would be anti-Christ in nature if we're not filling ourselves with the love of God, the relationship with God, the Spirit of God, His truth, on a regular basis to combat those external forces that are trying to draw us away from the relationship, the truth of God. The opening scriptures that we just read, they speak to the importance of holding fast to our faith no matter what we're going through, so that we're not at risk of falling away. So today we're going to talk about using Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Today we're going to talk about faithfulness and our confession of Jesus Christ is what we're going to talk about here today.
Amen.
So let's take verse 1. We're going to take verse 1, and we're always going to stick with these open scriptures, and we're going to take them piece by piece so we can just enjoy and let that meat of God's word just bounce around in our gums and in our teeth as we just enjoy the flavor of God's word. So we're going to take it bit by bit. Verse 1 says, therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Most earnest heed. You know, it says earnest heed is the word, and in other different translations say different things and whatnot. But, you know, I'm reading from the New King James Version, so we'll just go with earnest heed. What does to heed mean? You know, I always push when we work with children in various ministries that they, as they learn to memorize scriptures and stuff like that and recite them, I always push them a step further that they not only need to memorize them, but you need to know what it means. What does it mean? Because if you just know what the scriptures say, but you have no clue what it means, then what it also means, you cannot apply it to your life. It also means you have no understanding. So when you take a step further to this, when we look at these scriptures, what does it mean? So when it says to give more earnest heed, what does the word to heed mean? Well, basically it means to pay attention to. There could be to advise, warnings, also that we pay attention to. And then so the Bible says, therefore, we must give more earnest heed to things we have heard, lest we drift away. So God says, very important that we pay very close attention to what we have heard. So, in essence, what is God saying to us in this verse? Well, we get the first thing. We must pay close attention to God's word. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes there's a tendency for us, especially if we fail ourselves to other things, it's a tendency for us to ignore God's word in our life. The second thing is saying is that this verse is a warning from God. How is it a warning? A warning from God, okay, so we get into what warnings of God are an expression of God's grace. They help us to stay on the path of faith. So sometimes God has to warn us of different things. But there's a warning from God that if we don't pay attention to what we've heard through his word, through our relationship with God, we are at risk of drifting away. So if we're not in a relationship with God, if we're not paying close attention to what God is speaking through his word, through our prayer life, through our works in the kingdom, through just our, all these different things that is God in our life, what are some of the warning signs that we as believers in Christ, what are some of the warning signs that we're drifting away from the gospel? What are some of the warning signs that we can recognize about ourselves and about others that we're in fellowship with? Well, some of the warning signs are sometimes there's a decrease in fellowship with other believers. You know, that's one of the first signs when you start seeing people disappear. You know, you may have to pick the phone up and call to make sure everything's going okay. But one of the first signs, the first tendency when we're not in a relationship with God, we start kind of drifting away from what we have heard. We start to pull back from our fellowship with other believers. Another thing that is a warning sign that a follower of Christ, such as ourselves, are driven from the gospel is when we start to have a deep interest in false belief systems. So when we start to really pursue those things and start to talk about those things and start to get a deep interest in some of these things, that might be a warning sign that we are drifting away from the faith, especially when we start to put, it's one thing to do research on various belief systems like postmodernism and, you know, all these different universalism and all these different belief systems we got out there today. It's one thing to do research on it so we can educate ourselves, but it's another thing when we start to, those things, we're searching for those things and they start to cause a divide between us and what we have heard, what our true faith is. And so we have to be careful. Another warning sign that we as believers are drifting away from the gospel is when we start to display a pattern of worldly behavior. When we start to display a pattern of worldly behavior. And so this first verse is not only telling us that we need to heed what we've heard, stay in that close, pay attention to what God has shared with us in a relationship, but it's also a warning. And we also just very briefly talked about what are some of those warning signs that ourselves or someone else we know may be falling into this trap and drifting away and what some of those warning signs may be. Again, it's not meant to be all comprehensive, but those are just some of the things we can look out for. Moving on, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. We're going to take those together. Verse 2 says, "For as the word spoken through angels proves steadfast in every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" You know, back in Old Testament time, you know, overstepping and neglecting God's laws, when you studied the children of Israel, when you start spending some time in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you start spending some time in some of those, and, you know, overstepping and neglecting God's law in the Old Testament usually resulted in divine judgment. Amen. It usually resulted in divine judgment. So if it resulted in divine judgment in the Old Testament law under the Old Covenant, how much more, especially we should ask ourselves, is how much more would God hold us accountable for neglecting our salvation in Christ? Amen. How much more accountable, how much more would God hold us accountable for neglecting our salvation in Christ? You see, Bible here in Hebrews 2, verses 2 and 3, or actually verses 1 through 4 that we've been reading here, is not warning us here about rejecting salvation in Christ. That's not what it's warning. It is, but it is warning us, but neglecting it is what it's warning us. Not rejecting, but neglecting it. That is failing to give careful attention to the great reality of hope, forgiveness of sin, and the new life of Christ. Let me say that one more time. The Bible here is not warning us about rejecting the salvation of Christ, but neglecting it. That is, failing to give careful attention to the great reality of hope, forgiveness of sin, and new life in Christ. The Bible tells us that we must continue to grow in God and warns us of the perils of idleness and our spiritual walk. Amen. If you go further in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, listen to what it says here. Listen to what God is saying here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on the hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. You know, we've been taught that, we've been fed that as the foundation of our faith. And God expects us not to stop right there, but to keep growing in here, to move on closer to perfection, to start getting to a point where we're not just taking meat, but we start cutting deep through our gums, our spiritual gums, and we're able to start consuming meat of the gospel. So we should, when we start getting idle, getting complacent, this is where we start having problems. But we're supposed to continue to grow in God, and when we continue growing in God, that helps us in a situation where we're not in a situation where we are at risk of drifting away. In growing in our growing relationship, here's the question, in our growing relationship, how does God hold us accountable today so that we stay in faith? Because that's a part of it. You know, we're reading about God's warning, okay, about us taking earnest heed in what we've heard. You know, that's a warning from God. So the question comes that, you know, we know the things we need to do when we stay in a relationship with God, but the wonderful thing about God is in that relationship, he holds us accountable. There are things he does to keep us accountable and keep us on the right path, the narrow path on faith and righteousness through his son. So in that growing relationship, how does God hold us? What are some ways he holds us accountable today so that we stay strong in the faith? Well, number one, okay, is primarily through the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And it's in two primary ways that God uses his Holy Spirit to keep us accountable. Well, number one of the primary things that the Holy Spirit does for us, that is, even though it is painful at times, but it's essential to our Christian walk, and it's wonderful for those of us that are able to endure it, is conviction. Conviction. Amen. In the Gospel of John, John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, Jesus says, and when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is done. So the Holy Spirit not only plays a role in convicting the world of sin, but in our lives, since it dwells within us, it also convicts us of sin. Amen. Number two, okay? Another way that God holds us accountable today through the ministries of the Holy Spirit is he teaches and reminds us of God's word. Amen. He teaches and reminds us of God's word. Amen. And the Gospel of John as well, chapter 14, verses 26. Let's see what Jesus says here. John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Let's read it one more time. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And what Jesus says to us today is through his word, the entire Bible, from front to back. Amen. That's why it's important to get in the word so you can know what he's saying. Amen. So,
amen.
Last verse, okay, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Let's say that last opening verse that we opened with earlier. It says, God also bear witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. It says God also bear witness.
Bear witness.
Amen. So when I read that scripture, I begin to think, well, how does God bear witness to his message today? In other words, how does God confirm his message to us today? And I'm going to give two primary ways that he does. Two ways that God bears witness. Two ways that God confirms his message today. Number one, through the testimony of his word.
Amen.
Amen. Through the testimony of his word. Our testimony of his son demonstrates our faith in him, which is his message on earth. Believe in his son to be saved. Amen. That's our message. That's the message that he spoke to his body. That's the message that we are called to by the commission to preach and disciple others to do the same. So God confirms his message through the testimony of his word. Let's listen to what John says again. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Let's look what he says. He says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his son. See, did we check what he said there in verse 10? He says, he who believes, that's you and I, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. In himself. God confirms his message through the testimony of his word, that's through us in the work of the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, we have the Holy Spirit within us, and we believe that he is the Son of God. And our Savior, God put his testimony within us to speak to others. Amen. So God confirms his message one way through the testimony of his word. Number two, what is another way that God confirms his message today? Through witness of his word.
Of his word.
Amen. Through witness of his word. What does it say in verse 4? Hebrews 2, verse 4 says, God also bear witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So God confirms his message there also through witness of his word. The words of the Holy Spirit through the spiritual gift. In John chapter 10, verses 37 to 38, Jesus said something very interesting here. He said, in John chapter 10, verses 37 to 38, he says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe the Father is in me and I in him. Amen. Jesus continues his work through us by his Holy Spirit. Each time we as believers use our spiritual gifts, because we all have spiritual gifts, Amen. That has been given to us in accordance to the will of God by the Holy Spirit, by the same Spirit. Amen. When we use, we have just used our spiritual gifts, God is testifying in and through us about the truth in His Word. Let me say that one more time. When each time when we as believers use our spiritual gift, God is testifying in and through us about the truth of His Word. Amen. In other words, the gift of the Spirit gives each of us gives each of us something for all to see and to come know God. What God gives us when we accept the spiritual gift, it is so for other people to see. Amen. Through witness of His Word. Amen. Let's read here what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Very popular that a spiritual word is laying out all the spiritual gifts by the same Spirit. But you notice right in the middle of these scriptures, okay, it talks about this. It talks about how when we use our spiritual gifts that God gives us, it's for all to see and come to know God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7 says this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are the diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. Now pay very close attention to verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all.
Amen.
Amen. So what God puts in us is the prophet of us. It's a prophet of us. It's a testimony of His work through us so that others will come to know Him. Others will profit from God, us being in obedience and allowing God to use us with the spiritual gift that He's given us according to the measure of faith that He has given us. Amen. So in closing, because I'm about out of time, in closing, make the final few final points.
Amen.
About Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Just some takeaways. Number one, God warns us to pay close attention to His advice and warning. Amen. By doing so, it helps us to avoid falling away, drifting away in faith. He warns us not to neglect our relationship with Him by continuing pursuing growth in Him so we do not give a foothold to apathy and complacency, both which are pathways to spiritual death and apostasy. Amen. God keeps us accountable in our relationship through His Holy Spirit. Remember, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is not only conviction, but teach it and bring it into our remembrance by word. When we heed His warning and continue to grow in our relationship with God, He continues to bear witness of Himself through us by the Holy Spirit according to His will. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, tonight has been a night that the Lord has used you to deliver a word to us. It was a word that has substance. It was a word that has pointed. It was a word that has the T-R-U-T, the truth. So somebody out there listening on this worldwide system heard the word of God. Nobody will ever be able to announce before God they have not heard the word, because you have clearly pointed out through your teaching that it's about what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So until next time, the Lord bless you and keep you and keep peace, and we keep peace. Amen?
Amen. Love you too, Dr.
Amen. God bless you. Well, come on in, Dr. Newsom. You got the word?
Hello, Apostle.
Hello, Apostle.
How's it going?
I'm not going to complain. God is still good. He's good. His mercy endured forever. His mercy endured forever.
His mercy endured forever. Hallelujah.
Forever. Hallelujah.
Forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hi.
Hiya.
Hiya. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hiya.
Hiya. Yes, Lord. Praise His holy name. I know God has given you a word for tonight.
Well, the word God has given me for everyone tonight is what you need to go the distance.
What? Oh my Lord! What do you?
What you need to go the distance? You know what this is? To go the distance means to continue doing something until it's successfully completed.
Thank you.
To go the distance. You know, like Rocky. You remember Rocky?
Yes.
Rocky didn't win the fight against Apollo Creed and Rocky, but yet he did win because he went the distance. And he got an invitation to fight Apollo Creed again. Did you see the movie Rocky with Sylvester Stallone playing Rocky?
Yes.
He was called the Italian Stallion. And
Italian?
He fought against. And that's right, the Italian Stallion, and he fought against, you know, the movie. Dun, 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 dun. You know, Rocky. That's right, Rocky. He went the distance. He fought against Apollo Creed in that first movie. He didn't win the fight, but he went the distance. And because he went the distance, I tell you, he shocked the boxing world. He shocked all the fans, and Apollo Creed has had to have another fight with him again because he didn't expect for Rocky to go the distance. To go the distance, finish, to continue doing something until it's successfully completed. That's what it means to go the distance. And you see a great example of going the distance in Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. What you need to go the distance.
What do you need to go the distance?
To go the distance means to continue doing something until it's successfully completed. That word success is sakal in Hebrew. And it means to prosper or to have good success. So what you need to go the distance, what you need to succeed, to prosper, to have good success. Succeed is the Hebrew word for success. Succeed. You know the scripture in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth. He said, meditate in it day and night. Observe to do all that is written therein, and then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have what? Good success.
Sakal.
That's the Hebrew word. Sakal is the Hebrew word for success, and it means to prosper. It means to have good success. So what you need to go the distance, to go the distance, to successfully complete something. Okay, let's look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, this woman, she was losing blood. She had a menstrual cycle that lasted 12 years long. She was bleeding from her body, losing blood from her body for 12 years. It says in verse 26, and she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better. She spent all her money going to the doctor, trying to get well. But the scripture says, but she rather grew worse. Verse 27 says, and when she heard of Yeshua, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. Now, the press is a crowd. There was a crowd of people. So she came in the crowd. There was a crowd of people thronging Yeshua, thronging Jesus. They were pressing all up against him. It was a large crowd.
Yes.
Like if you go to one of these Astros baseball games, I took my family to one of the Astros baseball games. It was crowded all in there, especially when you went up to the concession stand to get something to eat. I mean,
yes.
Crowded. And so that's the type of crowd that was around Yeshua. People were pressing all up on him. And so the scripture says, when she heard that Yeshua came in the press behind him and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I shall be whole. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up when she touched Jesus' clothes. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Yeshua immediately, knowing in himself that power or virtue had gone out of him, he turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? See, everybody was pressing up on him, but not everybody was touching him with faith. People were pressing all, and seeing that's what the disciples couldn't understand. They said, what do you mean? In verse 31, the disciples said to him, what do you mean? You see the multitude thronging thee, and you said, who touched me? So you see, there's many people crowding into the churches every day, but not everybody's touching the heart of God. Not everybody's touching him with faith. Faith moves God. Faith touches God. How do I know that? Because look what it says in verse 32. And he looked around about and he saw her that had done that thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, in verse 33, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And look at verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith, good God Almighty, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You see, that woman touched Yeshua. She touched Jesus with her faith. That's what he felt. Her faith caused the power of God to flow out of Yeshua. And she was made whole. Good God Almighty. I'm telling you, faith pleases God. That's why the scripture says over in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that it is impossible to please God without what? Faith. Your faith pleases God. Yeshua said, woman, your faith has made you whole. So I like to say to everyone who's listening tonight around the world, your faith is what's going to make you whole. Your faith is what's going to get you up out of that sick bed. Your faith is what's going to get your business off the ground. Your faith is what got a roof over your head. Your faith will make you whole.
Oh.
And that's what Yeshua said. He turned around in the crowd because he felt virtue leave his body once she touched him. She touched him in faith. She touched him in faith.
Yes.
And he said, your faith is what made you whole. Now, what do you need to go the distance? This woman, I tell you, she went the distance. This woman did what she had to do before she could get healed. She went the distance. She kept going until she successfully completed what she was going after. Now, number one, what do you need to go the distance? Number one, you need a goal. You need a goal. This woman with the issue of blood, Dr. Hunter, she had a goal. What was her goal? Her goal was to get better.
That's right.
Her goal was to get well. Look what the scripture says in Mark chapter 5 and verse 26. Her goal was to get better. It says, and she had suffered many things of many physicians. And she had spent all her money giving it to the physicians that she had. And was nothing what? Bettered. The scripture says she was nothing bettered. So what was this woman's goal? This sick woman's goal was to get what? Better. She had a goal. You've got to have a goal to go the distance.
Exactly.
To be able to go the distance, you've got to have a goal. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to know, already have in mind what you're going to go after, what you're going to do. That's a goal. You've got to have a goal to go after. You just can't wake up. That's why a lot of guys are sitting up under the trees playing dominoes and drinking beer all day. That's why. Because they don't have what? A goal. So they sit up under the tree and drink beer and play dominoes and drink whiskey all day. You got to have a goal. You got to have something that you're shooting for.
Amen.
The Apostle
Amen.
Paul. Look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he says, I haven't arrived yet. Good God Almighty. He said, but one thing I do. He said, I what? I press.
I press.
Cross the what? Cross the mark. And that word mark means gold. He had a gold that he was cresting after. Good God Almighty. I'm about to run around this house. Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul had a gold. That man would get beaten one day, get stoned one day. Man, I tell you, he got beaten, he got stoned, he got chased, and I tell you, they were out to get Paul. But Paul would get up the next day. What would he do?
Yeah.
He'll go out preaching and teaching to the Gentiles because he had a mission to go and reach the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul had a goal. Good God Almighty.
A goal.
God made him the apostle to the Gentiles. And he was to reach the Gentiles, and he was to reach kings. That was his goal. The Gentiles are the non-Jewish people. He was called to reach the Gentiles. The Gentiles were any people other than Jews. And that was the Apostle Paul's goal. What was the Apostle Paul's goal? To reach the Gentiles.
As his goal.
What was this woman with the issue of blood goal? Her goal was to be better. To be better. And so she woke up every day. Paul woke up every day with what? A goal. I'm talking about what you need to go the distance. Number one, you need a goal. You need a goal. You got to know what you're going after. You got to have a picture of what's in your mind of what you want to accomplish. You got to have a goal. Isn't that right, Dr. Honda?
That's right. That's right.
You got to have a goal. If you want to successfully complete something, you got to have a goal in mind that you want to complete. Let me say that again. If you want to successfully complete something, you got to know what you want to complete.
You got to know it.
You got to know. You got to have a clear-cut picture in your mind. You got to have a clear-cut goal, something that you're going after. She wanted to get better. The woman with the issue of blood wanted to get better. She was sick for 12 years. Her goal was to get better. The Apostle Paul's goal was to reach the Gentile world. That was his goal, to reach the non-Jewish people. That was the Apostle Paul's goal. So he woke up every day, even when he got stoned, and even when he got beat, and even when he got thrown into prison. I tell you, he was still shooting for his goal, and that was reaching the Gentiles. And then before it was all over, good God Almighty, he said, I'll finish my course. I've kept the faith. Good God Almighty. He successfully completed his goal. But you got to have a goal. What you need to go the distance. Number one, you need a goal. Number two, you need to get started. You need to get started. Once you know what your goal is, number two, you need to get started. The woman with the issue of blood, she just didn't sit around and wish and hope that she would get better. No, she tried everything that she could. She took her money, and she went to all these different doctors trying to get better. The Bible says that she spent all her money
money.
But she only grew worse, but she was trying to get better. She had a goal. She had a goal, and she got started on it. And you know what? When she did reach Jesus, when she did reach Yeshua and got healed and she touched his garment, Yeshua didn't say, you coming to me now, huh? You coming to me now, huh? You spent all your money on the doctors and stuff. Go back to them. What you coming to me for? No, Yeshua didn't diss her like that. He didn't put her down. He sure didn't. So she was putting forth faith even when she was going to the doctors trying to get better. She did it all in faith. Good God Almighty. Yeshua didn't put her down for doing that. He didn't say, woman, you were stupid. You went out to all those doctors and spent all your money, and you only got worse, but now you want to come to me. No, he didn't say anything like that to her, did he, Dr. Andre?
No. With love.
He didn't put her down. He didn't put her down. So it's just like you and I. We got a goal, and we've tried all different kinds of things to reach our goal. And sometimes it just seemed like it didn't work. But that's all right. God's not putting you down. At least you're getting started. You've started the journey to reach your goal. Good God Almighty, I'm getting all happy all over in this house. You just got to start the journey. You got to get started. Whatever your goal is, just get started. I'm looking for property. I'm looking for new church buildings. I've gotten started. It seems like all my attempts to get the job done has failed, but no, I've gotten started. And God hasn't put me down. He hasn't dissed me and said, what a fool you are. You're trying all these different things. No, at least I've gotten started. And I'm using my faith. You got to use your faith. I'm telling you, even when it looks like your faith has failed, your faith hasn't failed. Faith never fails. Even though it looked like that woman, her faith failed when she was going to the doctors and lost all her money. No, her faith didn't fail. She was just going through a process until she met the Messiah, until she reached Yeshua, and he said, your faith has made you whole. Her going to the doctors and she lost all her money, that's not right. That was part of the process of faith.
That's what
she really
was.
Didn't fail. She got started. So she really didn't fail. She got started. She wouldn't have got anywhere if she wouldn't have ever started. Isn't that right, Apostle Hunter?
That's right.
She got started. She started taking a step at a time. That's why Jesus didn't put her down. He saw that she got started.
My God.
So you've got to get started. Don't let the devil fool you and tell you, look at all this stuff that you tried and it ain't worked. Don't let the devil fool you with that nonsense and that mess. It's working because you've gotten started. Take steps of faith. Even though it looked like it's failed, it ain't failed. You're almost there. You got to get started. What you need to go the distance. Number one, you got to have a goal. Number two, you got to get started. I remember the Apostle Paul when he met Yeshua on the road to Damascus, and he had his encounter with God. He had his encounter with Jesus. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded. A few days after that, after he met Yeshua a few days after that, he was preaching the gospel. He got started. You got to get started. Whatever your goal is, get started on it. And number three is you got to be determined. You need to be determined. You got to have your mind made up. It got to be settled in your mind that I'm going after my goal and I'm not going to let no one stop me. I'm not going to let no one stop me. Not mama, not daddy, not my sister, not my brother, not my wife, not my husband. I'm not going to let nobody stop me from reaching my goal. I say, if you don't want to go with me, I'll go all by myself. But I'm going. I'm going to reach my goal. You see, you got to have that bulldog tenacity. That's what I call it. You got to have that bulldog tenacity. Boy, when a bulldog grab on a piece of meat or grab on something, they don't let go of it. Boy, they just hold on and get to shaking their head from side to side. That's how you have to be. You got to have that bulldog tenacity. You don't stop. Don't let no one get you off your course to reach your goal. You got to be determined. And that's how that woman with the issue of blood was. So she spent all her money, but she kept going forward. She was determined. Good God Almighty. She was determined that she was going to be better. You know, she didn't lay down and die and quit. And she said, well, I tried all I could. I done spent all my money and I with the doctors, and I only got worse, so I just give up. No, she didn't do that. Well, she heard that Jesus, she heard that Yeshua was close by in town. Boy, she heard that, and more, she made up her mind. Good God Almighty. She determined. She was determined. She made up her mind. She was determined. She didn't say, oh, I done spent all my money. No. She got up and she went to meet Yeshua, and she touched the hem, and she didn't let the crowd stop her either. Can you imagine? You know she had to be weak. She had been bleeding for 12 long years, and there was a press, a crowd of people all around Yeshua. But she, I can see her right now. Have you ever been in a crowd before at a baseball game or you know, at a football game? You got to work your way through the crowd. But this woman was determined. She worked her way through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. You see, you've got to be determined. You can't stop and quit every time you hit a pothole. Do you stop every time you're traveling down the highway? When you hit a pothole, do you stop or do you just keep right on rolling?
No.
You got to keep right on rolling.
Teach it.
You got to be determined. You can't quit just because people don't want to work with you, or they want to roll their eyes at you, or they want to try to put down what you're going after. You can't quit because of how people look at you and what they say behind your back against you. You got to be determined, and you got to keep right on rolling.
Right on rolling.
Keep right on rolling. What you need to go the distance. Number one, you need a goal. Number two, you need to get started. Number three, you need to be determined. This woman had made up in her mind. You know, she said, if I can just reach him and touch him, I know that I'll be made whole. She was determined in her mind.
Yeah.
She had her mind made up. It was resolved. It was settled in her mind.
In her mind.
She was determined. Just like the Apostle Paul. Man, the Apostle Paul, he was determined to reach the Gentiles. Isn't that right, Dr. Hunter?
That's right. He was determined.
He was determined. Because didn't he get beat, man? He got beat. He got whipped. My God. He got beaten, stoned, and whipped with a, well, I'm telling you. But he got up and kept right on going.
Didn't stop him.
He was determined. He didn't stop.
No.
He was determined. He didn't stop. One time he got beat, with 39 lashes?
Yes.
Apostle? When it 39?
39.
Yeah, he got a whoop. And didn't he get stoned at one time?
Yes, sir.
Didn't he get thrown in jail numerous of times?
Yes, sir.
But he was determined.
He was determined.
He was determined. He had that bulldog tenacity.
Yes.
He had that, you know, that I tell you, I'm never, never, never going to quit. He had that determination. He was determined, that bulldog tenacity. And my final point, what you need to go the distance. Number one, you need a goal. Number two, you need to get started. Number three, you need to be determined. And my final point, you need to use your faith. You need to use your faith. The Bible says in Mark 5 and verse 28, listen to what this woman said. She said, for she said, That's faith. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole.
Oh.
You see? She said. She said. The faith, yeah. Jesus, Yeshua said, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and you believe in your heart and not doubt, you shall have whatsoever you say. The Bible says over in Mark chapter 11 that the disciples, they saw a fig tree that Yeshua had cursed. Yeshua had cursed that fig tree, and when they saw it, it was withered up and died. And they said, Yeshua, look, that fig tree that you cursed is withered up and died. And then Yeshua looked at them, and what did he say? He said, have faith in God. In other words, he was telling the disciples, you can do the same thing if you use your faith.
Use your faith.
Say to the mountain, be thou removed. Say you're going to be healed. Say that you're rich. Say that you're strong. Say that you're blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Say that your days shall be 120 years. Say that you shall live and not die and declare the mighty works of God. You got to say it with your mouth, and that's faith.
What a teaching, what a teaching.
What you need to go the distance. Number one, you got to have a goal. Number two, you got to get started. Number three, you got to be determined. And my final point, you got to use your faith. Speak what you want to happen. And that's it, Apostle Hyman.
Amen. Well, you know what? One of the things that I thank God for you being on the air and for what you said tonight. And one of the things that I'll say to Dr. Apostle Newsom, he's a man of God. And he said that if you're going to sit out and do something, you got to set a goal. You got to be determined. If you're not in there, if you're not even taking one of the steps, the best thing that we can say to you tonight is take notice. Take notice of what Yeshua HaMashiach, what Jesus Christ has said. Have faith in God.
Yes.
No matter what this world comes through, what the devil comes, the demons, all the zimps, and all those who don't know the Lord Jesus like you do, he's going to come and challenge the believers.
He sure is.
He's going to challenge you. Every day
yes,
of our life, we're challenged. But we have to our faith is not in what you say. Our faith is in the true and living God. It's in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you
Hallelujah. That's right.
And last thing, I got to study the book of Galatians, Ephesians, and I caught myself. I said, now, you're reading in here some things, but the Apostle Paul is saying it's happening. And number one, I look at it because she got me excited. I'm trying to hold my peace here.
Glory to God.
But
Hallelujah.
You know, hey, when you read Galatians and you see where Paul said, who has given himself for our sins, Jesus Christ gave his life for our sins. Not because we did, but he gave it for us. So the world is saying, you don't need Yeshua. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
I try to tell every day in my life, I try to tell people, no matter how you might see me, how I look, because I'm writing a paper right now to the school I'm at, because I know this much. One day in my life, I got myself to thinking I could tell God what I want to do, but you can't do that. But I had to learn. When you learn, you humble yourself. God don't try to beat you crazy. He said, yeah, but you have to learn. So when you learn, I got you. See, as you said it, we got to have that, what you call that, that tenacity, that bulldog tenacity. We got to hold on to the arm of God. No matter how the devil try to shake us loose, we got to hold on. See,
right now
in America, every time they look, I'm finding, help me, Holy Father.
Yes.
There's both parties, on the right and the left, on the left and the right. They're complaining.
Yes, sir.
Stop complaining and pray.
Stop complaining. Stop complaining.
Stop complaining. Because every time I look up, no. Look, we are a country that says we believe in God. If we believe in God, why is our God?
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Where is our God? Our God is able. He's able. And see,
yes,
the
sir,
more
he's able.
And see, one thing I say, Apostle, because you do the style that a old minister I know, he'd always come back and he reinforced his word. He said, repeat it. He'd all come back after four or five different statements to repeat it. In other words, let it soak in. Let it soak
yes,
in.
Glory
let
to
it
God.
Soak
yes,
in. Amen. Glory to God. And I
Amen.
Thank you for everything you said tonight. And I believe somebody's on the line with us right now. Hello out there. You listen? It's your time.
Yep.
Come on.
Woo,
yes,
sir.
How are you doing tonight, brother?
Go ahead.
Hallelujah, what a message. You got to have a plan. You can't let your husband, your boyfriend, your family, because that's how the devil works. I know that I want to say for God's kingdom. I know how the devil works, and I got that way because I attend church, I read my Bible, and I prayed, and I stayed prayed. But there are a lot of people out there in this world that are hurt. They are following the wrong God, and they know it. They want to remain anonymous because of shame. I said, we all are dealing with flesh, okay? And that's how the devil works. Well, my children, that's how the devil works. My husband, that's how the devil works. You got to let them go. You got to hold on to God. And when
yes.
you do right, if they want to hang on to you, then you say, hey, let's go to the next level. Let's go to Canaan. Let's go to Canaan together. Let's not just look at the promised land. Let's not keep moving and be appointed. And we have the anointing, and we're going to get the blessing. Let's get it and keep it what we know. We know now. We were ignorant. We didn't know how to read. I mean, you know, everybody don't know quantum figures, but hey, you know how to do basic mathematics, okay? So you know if your husband is putting you in the clubs and just keeping you out of church. You got to let that man go because you're at the next level now. God says, I need to use you for something. I need to take you where the scorpions are. I need to take you to the underground, okay, where most people are. I need to take you to where most people think that, hey, this one right here, all these are all the pimp daddies, and we need you to take these pimp daddies, and we need to burn those generation of curses so they can stop going back to their flesh. And you got to have a plan to do it. You see, when you're in the Bible, you know that you got to go in with your full armor. You can't go in because you want it, though. You got to go in when God gives you the anointing
yes.
to do it.
Yes.
So a lot of Christians, we're not missing money. We're missing the wisdom, the anointing, and the favor. Now, you do need finances. Getting your car, you need the finances to keep your personal appearance up, okay? Because people see who you are a lot of times before they care who you are. But you got to have a plan to do this. But you got to watch where you get it from. But when you get connected to the car, Lucifer has got over 100 tricks in his bag, okay? And, I mean, you can know about 2,000 scriptures, have them all memorized. I guarantee you, Lucifer is sitting there memorizing about 3,500 of them. And that's just a staple. But at least you have something to fight the enemy with, but he knows it. He was after Job. He's going to be after us, too, and we ain't no different. We're dealing with our flesh. We got to have
right.
a plan, and we got to go to God.
That's right.
And you can't let nobody or nothing get in your way.
Woo.
You know, you got to save these souls. We can do
That's
far
right.
more great things than what they did 2,000 years ago, even what they did 150 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants us to do these things. He wants us to go into these places where they're having concerts and they're bringing kids there and showing them, hey, show me your skin, show me this, show me that. Well, when we have a concert with God's people, we show them the Bible. We show them what self-respect is. We show them the scriptures. We show them and teach them how to memorize Bible scriptures and bend down to Jesus Christ. Instead of worshiping some God, that he didn't sacrifice your son for your sin. And nobody went to jail for you. Nobody.
But
yes,
she got
Jesus,
the bulldog.
He knew what he was going through. But he knew that God knew I have to have a plan. Because I know if I want to get this message across, I got to have something that I sacrifice. Now, obedience is better than sacrifice. But what a God is that? That you gave up your son to show me that he went to the cross for that man. You're not going to be like Jesus wasn't right. But he went in there and changed Saul to Paul. even though Abraham disrespected me, not so much disrespected me, but I can understand that, hey, you don't believe that I could do this for you. You know, you deal with flesh. You're not going to believe. The devil's going to have you, blood, but I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to bless you, your children, and your children's children. Do I know that you're not going to? I know you're going to, but you're going to feed my sheep. But I know that you're going to go to my body. But I know that you're going to lead people to the word of God. I know you're going to do that much for me, Solomon. I know you're a wise man and you're a wise man. I know you're dealing with a generational curse, Solomon, but you let nothing stand in your way when it came to getting the wisdom. You had a plan for it. The plan was the Bible. And it was well done.
She had the tenacity of a bulldog. The tenacity of a bulldog.
Hallelujah.
Because, I mean, that message, it was so personal because I'm just recollecting my thoughts from my associate's degree. Right now I'm in my doctoral degree class, and I know all the journey that I have went through. And just like George Martin says, it's not about getting there, or T.D. Jakes says, Bishop T.D. Jakes said, it's all about the journey. And I'm looking back on all the little doors that Lucifer has set my way, and now I'm really nonchalant to people as opposed to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, don't do that.
Hallelujah.
And I said, don't worry about that church from over there. God's going to take care of that person because you don't know if they just came out of divorce, they just came out of homosexuality, or they just came out of penitentiary. You don't know the truth from Adam and Eve. Because you really got to watch it when you don't have a plan, you don't take it to God because those spirits will jump off of them and get on you. And that's why you got to have a plan. When you put your mouth on something, you put it on God. You don't put it on another individual. Because we're all of his children. But like they say, the closest get the mostest. And
Monica,
how you get it is having a plan.
Monica?
Yes.
Well, I know this much because Dr. Newsom is one of the board members at the school. And one of the things I know, I've been knowing him for some time, and my quest with him was, God can men and men walk together. Yes, he and I are walking together. He has his road and I have mine. We every so often we stop and say, "How's it going? Getting better. Get back busy." That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. You heard him tonight say he's looking for the land. He ain't quit. He got a goal. He's every day searching and seeking and looking. See, some people will take what he said as a negative. But you know what? You can't win the game if you don't get in the game.
That's right. That's right. That's good.
That's right.
That's good. That's right.
Amen.
If you don't vote, you can't complain. I understand.
Amen. But we got somebody else on the phone with us. Reverend Pastor, are you there?
Yeah, I am. I'm right here.
Well, come on. Talk with us.
How are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm blessed.
All right, amen. Hey, listen, you know, last week I was talking about a spiritual heritage, and I feel like they'll continue on some of that.
Uh-huh.
You know, most people are not getting it across to them, they're understanding the spiritual heritage. You know, we're coming into times right now, bad times, into what's going on in the world. And you can go into Isaiah 13. For God says that because of his anger, and the people that are going out of this land, how he's going to destroy the land. But yet he's just spent time in 14, he says that he's going to have mercy on everyone.
Amen.
But what we need to know and understand is how to operate in these times. Operating in these times is we have to operate in the spirit of God. We cannot operate in the natural. We got to understand who we are and what we are in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So, and in doing that, you know, I was praying and I was meditating on the word of God. And I'll tell you, God took me into this where I was following this dark shadow. And yet at the same time, as I was following this dark shadow, everything in front of it was illuminating. And I couldn't understand what was going on. Then I realized what it was. I was looking at the backside of me because we can never see ourselves. You understand?
Amen.
Only up through a mirror or whatever else. But everything that is pressed out in front of us is illuminated. There's nothing that is not illuminated that we cannot be able to sit there and touch and hold or anything else. Anything, our thoughts, even in Isaiah 14, 20, hold on. Isaiah 14, 24, the Lord of the hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I pronounce it, so shall it stand. In other words, we're in Christ. All our thoughts, everything that we come into, everything, it's still, we act upon our thoughts. Is that right?
Amen.
It will take us to the left. It will take us to the right. It will stop us from proceeding in what God has planned for us. It will illuminate the things that God has planned for us that we can grab a hold of, we can take a hold of, we can take possession of, because we are in Christ. Our thoughts, even as God thought, because even our thoughts, we produce the words that come out of our mouth, and what comes out of our mouth produces what is going to be. Right?
Right, right.
So with the understanding where we're at in with our spiritual heritage and what we're doing and how we can operate in it, we have to be strong in understanding
that. Amen.
We got to be strong in understanding in what it is that we proclaim that is of Christ, and to be able to walk in His presence. Jesus, if you want to go back, let's go back to Cain and Abel. When Cain killed Abel, Seth was the redeeming son. Now listen to me first, because it was through his lineage, it comes through that of where we're at today, because he came to take the place of Cain and Abel for what happened with them. God chose Seth. We can go on and God chose Enoch. God chose Noah.
Amen.
God chose David. God chose Solomon. And God still, and Jesus chose his 12 disciples. And God is still choosing today. God knows who is going to be righteous, who is going to understand that operating in not of the natural, not operating in the flesh, but be able to understand spiritual heritage and what we are to operate in, because in these days that have come upon us right now, where we can see where ISIS and all these other troubles are going across the world, and even right here in our nation, it's unraveling everything. The world is wobbling. The magnetic poles are shifting. So everything is changing. There is going to be an earthquake greater than we ever seen. Even God predicts it. He even says it's going to be an earthquake. It's going to split the continents. These are all things that are coming. Those who are operating in the spiritual realm of Christ, those who are strong and standing and understanding who they are, and those who are chosen. Now, I'm not saying that there are those who are laborers. It's just the same as those who work in the fields and the shops and whatever else, you know. They're laboring in the fields, but God is still chosen. And these are the ones that we're calling out. Now God is calling on out right now. He's calling them, those who are chosen, to stand, to pick up their cross, to understand who they are in Christ, who they are, that has to stand and take hold. And God says, in that day, he will give them the words to speak, to draw the rest near unto him.
Amen.
Right? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But this
Amen.
Is what I'm, but without the knowledge and understanding your spiritual heritage, because you can go back in your lineage somewhere back, as far back as you want to go, somewhere that seed of Abraham, that seed of Isaac, to the covenant that God has given us today, and through the blood of Jesus who reconnected us with the Father in heaven, that brought us to the point of understanding that we can ourselves, we can go right now through the veil to the throne
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
We can walk right to the throne of God, to the mercy seat, through the veil
Amen.
In our spirit. And this is something, like I said, we need to know our spiritual heritage through Christ. We need
Amen.
To understand. We need to understand this. This is the most important right now and today and in the days to come. We need to know who we are and what we are in Christ.
Well, let me ask this question to you and to everybody
sure.
that's listening. One of the things that I come to understand, it took me a long, long time, but through much faith and understanding, why was the gospel ever preached to Abraham? Is my question to the whole audience. Was the gospel ever preached to Abraham?
The gospel, good question. God came to Abraham. God walked with Abraham. I would imagine when he walked with Abraham, there's a lot of things that are not in the Bible, that are in other manuscripts, but he walked with Abraham. He spoke
Amen.
With Abraham.
But
so just the same as Mary. Mary knew who Jesus was.
Yes. But see,
you know,
but see, I want some more answers out there. Anybody else got an answer? Anybody else?
Oh, dear, well, I'll tell you that thank you. Sister Monica Hanson, I just want to thank the man for his message, the other doctor for his message about having a plan. And I really need to hear that. Thank you for the blessing.
Amen. Well, that's
Amen.
Why.
Brother, I see in Genesis, the gospel is the good news, correct?
Amen.
The gospel is the good news. And over in, so the Abram did hear the gospel. The Lord, over in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the scripture said, now the Lord had said unto Abram. He's getting
right.
ready, he said something. He's getting ready to say some
he
good news. He says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He's telling them, get away from these heathen worshipers.
Amen.
They're worshiping all types of false gods and all that. So the Lord is telling Abram, get away from all that. Your father, he makes false idols and he sells
yeah.
them, and your kinfolks are crazy. He's saying, get away from them. And he says, and go into a land that I will show thee. And look
that
what he
I
says in verse 2. And he said, I'll show you, Abram. He said, but you got to get away. You got to repent. You got to get away from these idol worshippers and all this, so your old crazy kinfolks. And then in verse 2, he said, and I will make thee a great nation. That's good
great
news.
Nation.
And he said, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And then he says, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. Now,
Amen.
That isn't the gospel. That isn't good news. There is no good news. That's the gospel. God spoke to Abraham. He spoke to him the gospel, the good
That's
news.
Right. Spoke to him directly. You know, it's just even like when the angels came and spoke to Mary and said that she was going to have a child, Jesus. But you know, even with Elizabeth, when they came with Elizabeth and know that she was with child, but Elizabeth was the only, John the Baptist was the only one that was born with the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Because it says that God sent forth his Spirit before he came. Think about that.
So that answers your question right there, Apostle
Hunter. Right.
The gospel was preached to Abram.
It was. But you know
that, and he did what God told him to do, and that's when he became Abraham.
Yes. But when I look into the book of Galatians, but I read on and I find out how God, knowing that he preached the gospel to the heathen, he preached the gospel. God did. In Galatians,
yeah.
I'm looking for it. He preached the gospel to Abraham to fulfill Genesis chapter 12. And so the most important thing, like the Pastor Irving is saying, we need to know our inheritance.
Yes,
we
sir.
Need to know. See, I am a Jew by spiritual birth, by accepting Yeshua HaMashiach. Because the Jews, they had a right. They were the first caller. They demanded a God, but they wanted a king, somebody to, but God gave them the right. And because they were the first, I always say, like, they were the first ones with the diadem, but they abused it. And God had to send his plan in motion. And the more you read into the book of God, the more we find our inheritance. Our inheritance is Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, it's what he has done for us, through us, and by us. And one of the things I say to all you great scholars, and to those that are listening of far and near, Jesus Christ has paid the price.
He's paid the price.
That's right. Is that right, Eric?
Yes, it is. That's right. You know,
all right.
But you know, there is so much more. There's so much more that Jesus did for us that we don't even preach about. We don't even talk about in the pulpit, you know. And that's understanding your heritage. That's understanding where we are. Because Jesus says, be leery of the flesh, of the natural, because he said that we need to be talking and thinking in the spiritual.
Uh-huh.
And without understanding that, we're losing many people. We're losing, because look what's rising up. God has rose up a nation that's coming against the world that's evil. They feel that they would turn their selves back to him.
Yes.
And like I said, and we're in these days now that we need to start training those in the pulpit. We need to start training those in the pews and telling them about the spiritual heritage that Jesus has given unto us. We can do more through understanding.
You're right. And one of the things I was doing as we were sitting here, I was looking in the book of Galatians. I turned to the third chapter, and this is what I want to. Can I say this? May I permit? Okay. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 17, this I say, Paul said, this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Hallelujah. If the inheritance, here it is, the inheritance by the law, it is no more of a promise. But God gave it to Abraham, the promise.
That's right.
And wherefore we accept the law, it was added because of transgression. Till the seed should come. Until Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, should come. Till the seed should come. To whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now, It said that media is not a media of one, but of God is one. If the law being against the promise of God, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have been given life, verily righteousness should not have by the law. A good God Almighty. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And right there, since you're right there over in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, Apostle, it tells you right there that the gospel was preached to Abraham. Read Galatians chapter 3, verse 8.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? That's what I was reaching to, but I was saying, see, but I say this. What God is doing to all us men tonight, we got to just teach them. We got to show them the goal. We got to let them know you got to have an attitude. You got to have a bulldog tenacity. And one thing I know about you, both of you pastors, is that y'all have a grip. Y'all have an attitude. Let's press in. No matter what somebody else say, well, they said, that don't affect you. Am I right?
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Dr. Farr, turn back now.
Yeah. Everything we do in the spirit realm affects the natural. Everything we do in the natural affects the spiritual realm, and that's what it's saying. We need to understand where we're at, because there's so many people who is walking in the natural and expecting the supernatural. And it's not going to happen, because what they're doing, they're basically cursing themselves, because they're not operating in the supernatural to receive what is into the natural.
Talk about it. Talk about it, sir. You nailed it on the wall.
That's just the truth. I mean, there's so many people, because we've been told about all these wonderful things, you know, name it and claim it. And that's not the gospel. That is not the gospel. Because God sits there and says, the things that I have given unto you are more precious than gold and silver. More precious. And that is the relationship. That is being in Christ. That is being that you have the same, you have from the throne of God, his hand of mercy and grace upon you. Through that, you inherit all that the kingdom of heaven in you, that you can operate in the healings. You can operate in everything that God has planned for us from the beginning. We have it, but we're not teaching it, and we're not laying it out, and we're not showing them how to walk in the spiritual, and then still be able to operate in the natural. Most people are doing the opposite. They are looking at a humanistic world. They're looking at it in a humanistic appeal, and they're looking at it, and they're saying, hey, you know, and they're operating, and this is what's happening into this world. We have changed. We have walked away from God, knowing and thinking we can do this on our own, and not understanding that what we need to be doing is operating in Christ in the spirit realm and understanding the supernatural affects the natural, and not the natural that we're trying to make supernatural to exist.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing I'll say to you, my brother, is that you brought out some finer points tonight, and the more you teach, the more we got to dig in deep. We got to dig in deep.
Amen.
We got to. It's up
Amen.
To us.
I know.
My God.
This has been going on. I've been walking and talking with the Lord for God, I don't know, 20 years, and he keeps showing me every day. Every day, brother, he keeps showing me more and more stuff every day.
I know. But you know, now, Ray, you may mention something that's got my attention more. God is saying to this generation, generation. If we take notice, everything is lining up. All of a sudden in the Middle East, everything is acting up wrongfully. Why? Because the Bible is being fulfilled. And some people have not come to the... See, God's going to watch for his people. He didn't promise us. We just have to do one thing God say. He said, trust in me, believe in me, hold on, I'm coming. Behold, I come. So we
That's
got
right.
to hold on. I don't care if somebody says, I'm going to build a church. I'm going to build a church. God told me to build it. God must know it's going to be built when he told you to build it. He didn't tell you to go
That's
buy
right.
a new car. He told you, I'm going to get you a new car. But it's up to you to press in.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And see, when you saw me, when I first met you, brother, when I first met you, it was by the moving of the Holy Spirit, when God sent you and I in the same quadrant and we talked, I never should forget that day. He said, may I pray for you? I looked at you point blank. I wanted to say, who are you? But I saw the Holy Spirit moved in you. So that's why I allow. See, one thing I've come to understand, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Hello.
Amen.
If we don't try to help each other, we're not going to make it in.
That's right.
See,
that's right.
See, and my tears go out to the people who say, who do always say, well, his ministry out there, Dr. Newsom, his ministry. Some people say, man, I said, no, it's not. They tell me, I say, y'all tell me about my ministry. Let me tell you. See, the devil is going always trying to find a way to fester you. I'm going to use that term. And if he can stir you up, he got you.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. See, now
like
come on the thing. Go ahead.
It's like when like I said, when the earthquakes are coming and all this devastation that is going to come upon the earth, you know, those who are strong in Christ, we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to. We should not even have to. Our knees should not even have to quake or shake because we already know and we're standing in Christ and we know what's going to happen. This
Amen.
Is the fear that we do not need to have to carry because God has told us his mercy and grace is upon us and we are there and we have it. And that's all we need to know. That's all we have to know.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hey, let's go to prayer right now and for the lost and see if we, anybody that's hearing us anywhere in the world right now that is trying to comprehend what's going on right now in their lives and what's going on in their nations and seeing all this devastation, that we don't have to worry anymore because this is in God's hands. Father, right now, Lord, I ask right now, wherever anybody is in hearing our voices right now, Lord, that they would quicken their heart, Lord, to understand, Lord, that they would know, Lord, that they have no fear, but that they are in Christ, and that we stand strong together, and that we can comprehend the knowledge and understanding that you have presented to us, Lord, and that you are continually, Lord, to fulfill your promise to each and every one of us to hear your voice, Lord, and to understand, Lord. Lord, right now, Father, I ask if anybody who has doubt, Lord, they would lay it down at your feet. Anyone, Lord, who has a repentant heart, Lord, they would come to you right now and ask for your mercy and your grace. And, Father, for anyone right now who wants to know and understand and gather more wisdom and the knowledge of understanding what we were talking about, Lord, that you would begin to open their minds, Lord, open their spirit and open their hearts to receive your word, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, right now for this radio station. We thank you for all the ministers, Lord, that are here, Lord, tonight. We thank you for everyone that you're working through, Lord, to bring the gospel, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the salvation for those who are coming, Lord, right now. That you are on their knees right now, Lord, that you receive them, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. And we thank you in Jesus' in the holy name.
Amen.
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 Well, one thing I will say is tonight is this one thing. Is as I was reading in my book and study, I went to the second chapter of Hebrews. And the second chapter of Hebrews tells us some words. It tells us, here's what it says, the third chapter of Hebrews, second chapter of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 13. Paul writes, again, I say, put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Here's what he says. For as much as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he, Yeshua HaMashiach, himself also took part in the same. That through death, this is what gets me and blesses me, through death, Yeshua, he might destroy the devil that had the power of death. That was the devil.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 And the more we, and he delivered us from, brought them from the fear of death, were all lifetimes subject to bondage. When Yeshua, hallelujah, when he got up that particular morning, he said, all power is in my right hand. Devil, the death and hell is in my right hand. So, Yeshua, and we have to tell Mr. Landowner, thank you, Lord, I'm getting excited. We have to tell the world. You need to find out. This is what he did for you. Ain't no black man, white man, rich man, poor man going to die for you. Jesus took it all up on himself.
Yes, he did.
Yeshua.
Yes, he did.
And you go and look at Psalm 22. And he said, there was a time when God said, my son, you don't have to do this. I read after I broke up crying. He said, the father said, son, you don't have to do this. He said, but father, I do it because I love you. Now, that's what you call devoted agape love.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Said, God told his son, you don't have to go down there. He said, no, father, but it pleases you. So what we got to do, hallelujah, Shande Hiha, we got to please him.
Yes.
We got to please him.
Amen.
Amen. Woo.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo. Hallelujah. That's been a great
hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And
hallelujah.
See, I tell everybody, you better stop getting all these iPhones, you're getting everything out there. All the devil is setting you up for a kick. He's setting you up for a kick. Ain't no goal line there. See, because you got to have the printed word. The phone can go out.
That's right. You got to have it in your heart. You got to have it in your heart. You
in your heart. And you better make sure you got a book somewhere. As Uncle George, you say, if you ain't got a rock here on there with some money, it ain't no good in going back there. Because it ain't going to help you no. But, you know, one thing I'll say tonight, I want to thank both of you brothers on the line tonight with me. Y'all have built my spirit up. I thank God for y'all. And I'm looking
thank
for God for the greater thing that God's going to do. And and we want to welcome Brother Pastor Irvin. He's going to be able to put on a Tuesday night with us. And I thank God for him.
I thank God for him.
He's going to be a part of what we're doing. And we thank God not only for him, for many, many more. And I'm going to let it be known to the world we're on the same team. And
Amen.
We're superstars.
Amen.
We're superstars.
Amen.
You ain't bigger than us, you ain't better than us, because we got the best. We got the best. And one thing I always say, the old preacher told me, he said, I got the last word. The preacher always said, I got the last word. We got the last word. We believers. We have the last word. Amen. So tonight,
Amen.
My beloved, if there's anything else, you got anything else you want to say, my brother?
Yeah, just Meek said to say hello from Miko.
Okay. Tell him to call me.
Okay. Yeah, I got to talk to her tomorrow, so I'll ever give you a call.
Okay. The Lord bless you and Lord keep you. Take us out, Dr. Newsom, with the love of God, with a prayer.
Father, we just thank you, Yahweh. Yahweh, we thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. You're the only true living God. There's no other God besides you. You are good, and your mercy endured forever. We just thank you. We appreciate you. Father God, thank you for Apostle Hunter, Lord God. Bless him. Bless all the works of his hands, Father God. Bless him spiritually, physically, financially, and socially. Continue to bless his broadcast, Father God. And Father God, bless all the ministers who are on the air tonight, Father God. Bless them. Bless them in every area of their life, Father God, and all those who are listening around the world. Bless them, Father God, in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you. Until next time, bless them, Father God, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you until we talk again. Amen.
God bless you.
God bless.
Amen. Shalom. Shalom.
D63H03, Healing Scriptures.
I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7:15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15:26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none, or permit none, of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26:3, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles 30:20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings 20:5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145:8-9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103:3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the margin reads, surely he hath borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. who his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to promise. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14, and then chapter 2, verses 10 and 15, giving thanks unto the Father, which is thus meet, are able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter and the 12th verse, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the day of heaven on the earth. Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may dwell with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Just concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with disease and torment, and those who were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered, so I'm not that thou shalt come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. My servants do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among them. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus drew himself thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you once again for the things you have done for us tonight. We thank you for more. We just thank you, and we love you, and we adore you, and we magnify your name. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And bless my house, bless my wife, bless my son, my daughter, my grandson. Bless them and keep them. And let your love forever be more manifest in our lives. In these last days we now live, we ask you that we keep the courage. We keep the faith, a faith walker. As faith walker, we walk it by faith and not by sight. Now we heard what we'll in Jesus' name, amen.